The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, here comes the flash headline. The largest tax code overhaul since the 1980s passed through the House yesterday. Man, that sounds flashy. It sounds exciting. Isn't it? But that's really not true. Not really a lot to be excited about. The real work on this plan goes down in the Senate. And probably the most interesting thing about this tax plan doesn't even have anything to do with tax reform. So let's get real here. This is still all about health care. We're just calling it something else. First, the tax numbers. After the Senate gets done revising the thing, individual tax cuts will be about $3.7 trillion. But it will also raise revenue by $2.8 trillion. When we say raise revenue, what we mean is new taxes. The Senate's version is a marked improvement over the House's. They improved it by increasing the child tax credit from $1,000 a child to $2,000. But they are also, and this is the big one, repealing the Obamacare individual mandate. The war on Obamacare hasn't ended. It's just been repackaged as tax reform. What was deemed the largest tax code overhaul in decades is in reality a tax plan that will be negated by inflation in 10 to 15 years. This is not an age-defining bill. This is not the Reagan Revolution here. The tax cuts make it better than what we have now, but in some cases by, 0.5%. It's nothing earth-shattering here. The only age-defining issue out there is health care, and this bill could be the first salvo in scuttling Obamacare for good. But notice I just used the word could. A couple of days ago, it was announced that the Alexander Murray Insurance Company bailout would likely be included in this spending bill. Wait a minute. A bailout for an insurance company? This would basically negate the ultimate goal of repealing the individual mandate. And that ultimate goal is to cause Obamacare to fail, right? The Alexander Murray bailout ensures that insurance companies and hospitals can continue their cartel. Costs and premiums will remain high. Monthly premiums are now up to $2,100 and they're rising. Those costs alone completely wipe out your child tax credit. A message to the Senate. If your goal is to try and scuttle Obamacare, what good is repealing the individual mandate if you wind up bailing out all the insurance companies? If you skimped on tax cuts to finally put a nail in the coffin of Obamacare, you better be prepared to go all the way. Stop the Alexander Murray Obamacare payments, or all of this is nothing more than a game and a show.
It's Friday, November 17th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello. Welcome to Friday. I got a lot of things that, I have a lot of things that I want to talk about. The Al Franken stuff, the tax cuts. But I would really like to talk about the new Elon Musk unveiling of the semi-automated semi-truck yesterday and the Roadster.
Yeah, let's be honest about it. It's all about the Roadster. Who cares about the stupid truck?
I actually care about the stupid truck. But
no, you know what? If I'm a trucker, I really do. Because It could be one of those things. If you can get a long range without having to spend all the money on gas, there's
a lot to be gained there.
And the good thing is, the electricity that powers it actually comes from elves in the wall. And they run on little hamster wheels.
It generates the power. It's so good for the environment.
It is. This energy comes directly from these elves. And these elves are organic. Mm-hmm. They're grown in farms in the Netherlands.
The free range elves. Yeah, free range elves.
They're shipped over here. They go into your wall. They get in hamster wheels. wheels, and they run around, and that generates the electricity and that powers these things.
And they do not burp. They do not fart.
No.
So there's no gas coming from the elves.
You don't need to, they don't need to be fed.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people think that the electricity doesn't come from magic elves in the wall.
Deniers? Is that, you're talking about those? But you're going to bring up deniers on the show?
Yeah, I want to bring up deniers just to show how stupid they are. They believe that the electricity that comes out of the wall that you would plug your electric car into, you know, comes from some sort of coal fired electricity, or, you know, some plant that's just belching a lot of smoke into the air.
What's that? They say it's a natural gas as part of the equation.
Yeah, they think that you can dig up these little black rocks and then burn that, and it will make the elves' job non-existent.
And ridiculous.
Yeah.
These pathetic
the elf
people.
Deniers.
But I will say the Roadster, 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds.
No car has ever gone 1.90 to 60. 2.0, I think, is the fastest ever. And in typical Elon Musk, he was like, and I mean, this is just what we have in the prototype. Inferring that it's going to get better than that.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't come out till 2020. But you can put your $250,000 down now to get a founder's model for when it comes out. So you just got to set aside the quarter mil, you know, for a few years. Mm-hmm. And that will give you not the car, but the opportunity to buy the car.
Oh, wait.
When they tell you what it costs.
It doesn't go to the car?
No. I mean, it's a down payment on the car, but you will still owe more money on the car.
Yeah, they have no idea how much it's going to cost yet.
That's only for the founder's model, though. Actually, you can put $50,000 down for a regular one, and I guess at that point, it's a couple hundred thousand. It's not going to be Bugatti level, because the Bugatti Veyron and the
it's
ones
like
that come after that
1.9,
you know, you're going to get into $2 million for that, and that'll do 0 to 60 in 2.3, I think. So this is faster than that. Do you think the top speed's going to be around 250, which would be slower than Bugatti?
No. He said, I don't want to get into the top speed now, but it is over 250.
He said over 250.
Yeah.
You can get up to almost 300 in the Bugatti now. So,
Electric cars
are never going to be, they're not going to compete necessarily as well at a top speed level, but they're faster, 0 to 60. The things that you would actually use in a car are faster with the electric cars. You don't use 300 miles an hour. That's not a usable trait.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I don't know if I use 0 to 60 in 1.9 either.
Oh, I absolutely.
Do you really?
Do that getting on the highway. You could do that. They brought them in here and test drove them. And one of my favorite things to do, which is really safe, by the way, if you're a driver.
Sure.
You know how you get on the on-ramp?
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you slowly accelerate into traffic. That's certainly one way to go.
Sure.
Let me give you an alternate plan here.
Okay, I think this
is helpful.
All right.
What you do is you know how sometimes, like, let's say you were to spill a cup of coffee.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You'd probably pull over to the side and stop.
I wouldn't.
Really? You just keep going?
No.
Let it sink into the carpet? Okay. So, you know, you drop something, whatever, you need to make a phone call, something like
that.
Sure. Kids are acting up in the back seat. Mm-hmm. You pull over to the side of the road. So let's just say that happened on the on-ramp for an undisclosed reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you were to stop on the side of the on-ramp.
Yes.
And things are clear around you. And then you just kind of wait. And you look kind of behind you. And you wait until a car going at full speed passes you. Going 70 miles an hour, and then you mash on the gas pedal, which is not a gas pedal in this particular case.
Yes.
And you pass it before the end of the ramp.
Holy cow.
That's the sort of speed I'm talking about. It is legitimately how fast these things go. And it's incredible because it jerks you back like you're on a ridiculous Six Flags roller coaster.
People don't understand the constant acceleration. When you first drive a Tesla, it has no gearbox.
Yeah,
it's constant acceleration. So you're expecting the.
It doesn't do that. No,
and it's just constant, and it peels your eyes back.
It really does.
It really does.
The first time, and we've never.
And this I can't even imagine.
We've never driven one that's near that fast. I mean, the one I think the one we drove was like around 3 seconds or 2.9. Yeah. But I mean, anything under 6 seconds. Feels pretty fast. Like if that's a decent Mustang, right? That you'd buy from a Ford dealership is going to go somewhere under 6 seconds, maybe. Under 4 seconds is like world class speed. Like you're talking 600 horsepower. I mean, those are, really, really like supercars.
Yeah.
Under 4 seconds. Under 2 seconds is insanity.
It's never been done before.
And Elon Musk is obsessed with Spaceballs.
Yes.
The movie Spaceballs. It's so weird.
He said, if anybody is a fan of Spaceballs, you know that there's only one speed above ludicrous. Now, ludicrous is the speed that you type into on your screen of a Tesla. You pick the kind of, you know, you want an economy speed or whatever.
Yep.
And you can hit ludicrous, which means I don't care about how long the battery is going to last.
Yeah.
I just want to just go fast. So you hit ludicrous, and that's when you hit the top speeds. This one doesn't have ludicrous. This has economy, you know, highway.
Insane. It still has the other ones from Spaceballs, too. And ludicrous speed was the fastest speed in Spaceballs, with one exception.
With one exception, which is plaid. So this has a setting of plaid.
Plaid speed. This, again, like,
I love his sense of humor.
Yeah, and it's like, I think there's a lot. This audience, you know, when it comes to politics and talking about the environment, like, Elon Musk would be very annoying to talk to about these topics because he wouldn't agree with us at all.
Agreed.
But I like the idea.
I love
this
him.
Guy is living the billionaire life the way I would live it.
Yes.
He's just like, you know what? I want a giant bank tube that goes from Los Angeles to San Francisco in 4 seconds. And then he just starts building it.
Yeah, but it's not because he's a billionaire. I mean, that helps. It is also because he's so super damn smart.
It is that he's super smart, I will say.
However, come on, you listen to that guy, and he's like, oh, well, no. I mean, of course, we all know that, you know, you can bore under somebody's house, and if you're 100 feet below, you can't feel anything. I mean, you know, you won't even notice that there's a whole highway underneath your house. You're like, what?
Right.
I didn't know that.
You're parsing this thing in a way that's not making my point exactly. Because, yes, his ideas are better than mine. But my point is, if I had billions of dollars, I would try stupid, crazy stuff.
Yes.
And he...
Okay, like, so you would try stupid stuff, but it wouldn't necessarily be successful.
Right. They'd probably fail all the time. And I think a lot of Elon Musk's ideas would fail. And that's okay. I mean, like, I don't know that his solar plans will be hugely successful. I know it's really important to him. He's tried a lot of crazy ideas, and not all of them have worked. Some of them may.
No, but you know, when you like have, like, okay, I'm going to build some solar panels. I'm also going to build a rocket ship and have it land again. When that one works, right, I kind of give you a pass on everything else. You know?
Right. But what's the normal billionaire thing to do? I'm going to start a hedge fund.
I'm gonna build a wing on a hospital.
Yeah. Like, and those are all great goals, right?
Yeah, they're great.
I'm gonna find real estate to invest in.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like, those are all fine. This guy's trying to make lasers.
This is the first guy that has said, we're going to Mars.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tuesday. By Tuesday, we're going to Mars.
He may do it in the Roadster, too, which is kind of amazing.
So here's a little audio. He rented a big aircraft hangar out in California to introduce his new driverless truck, and then at the end the truck opened up and a Roadster drove out, because he did, you know, the Steve Jobs thing. Oh, you know what, there's one more thing. I think open up the back of the truck, and this Roadster came out, and the crowd went wild. This is him at the end of it in full-fledged ludicrous mode for Elon Musk.
606, these numbers sound nutty, but they're real. 620 mile range, that's a 1,000 kilometer range. This will be the first time an electric vehicle breaks 1,000 kilometers. A production electric vehicle will travel more than 1,000 kilometers in a single charge at highway speed. But you'll be able to travel from LA to San Francisco and back at highway speed without recharging. The point of doing this is to just give a hardcore smackdown to gasoline cars.
Unbelievable, Elon Musk. We live in such an exciting time. We're just concentrating on the wrong things. We're concentrating on all the scumbags. So I want to talk to you a little bit about time and how it flies. It is. I mean, the holidays are here. Can you believe that?
I mean,
what? It's Thanksgiving next week, and then you know, then it's Christmas, and then we start it all over again. It's like crazy. Okay, so this summer I came home and Rafe's voice changed, and it freaked me out. Freaked me out.
How old is your son, Rafe?
13. And all of a sudden it was like, you know, he had a cold, and so you didn't notice it for a couple of days. And I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I got a cold. And then the cold cleared up, and he was, hey, Dad. You're like, what the? And it was so weird. I don't know if everybody else was prepared for that. I just wasn't prepared for that.
That's the Ben on Growing Pains thing. Oh, do you remember that? Do you remember Growing Pains when I think it was Ben with a little kid and all of a sudden he was like, hey, Dad. It was the weirdest thing. Yeah. Like, is he 60? How old is that kid?
Yeah, it's weird.
It happened so
really
fast.
Weird. And so the biggest challenge is, you know, trying to make sure that time isn't lost with the family. That's our biggest challenge. So making the most with the moments that you have with our kids is so important. I want you to try a game called Say Anything. It takes about 30 minutes to play, so everybody has time for it. The kids have played it during dinner. We've played it in all situations. And in those 30 minutes, I'm telling you, you will learn more about how your kids think than any other activity. Somebody who was playing wrote and said, what we enjoy about Say Anything is you get to know more about everyone playing. You're sharing ideas and personalities with each other. And that is true. You will sit there and we'll play anything, Say Anything, and we'll be like, huh. And Donnie and I will walk out afterwards and say, did you know that? It's really a brilliant game because you're making connections with everyone around the table and you're doing it cloaked as fun. Say Anything. They sell it at Target. Say Anything is on sale right now at Target for $5 off. Get Say Anything before they sell out for the holidays. Say Anything. $5 off now at Target.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Wall Street Journal had a story that I just can't get over. As we're talking about the high-tech world, there will be those who are trying desperately to justify their jobs. Here's one. The headline, Google Schmoogle, reference librarians are still busier than ever. Now, people don't know what a reference librarian is, perhaps.
That's because they're not busier than ever.
Correct. Yeah. A staff member at the Carnegie Library in this city's Oakland district answered her phone in a cubicle late the afternoon of November 1st. Woman wanted to know who would be pitching for the Dodgers that night in the final game of the World Series. So what did the reference librarian do? Quote, she consulted a sports website. After taking the call, the 28-year-old reference librarian recalled a library patron who once asked her whether barcodes on store merchandise contained the mark of the beast, the symbol discussed in the Book of Revelation. She looked it up and on a website and found the answer is no. she says, the story goes on, though online searches are now at the fingertips of most people, many still prefer to call or visit a library. Others recognize librarians have search skills and access to databases that search engines can't match. So I read that and I thought, I wonder what. There's got to be some evidence of something. So I continue to read, but now I'm reading it with the search engine by my side. And she talks about, there's some things you just can't find online, like, you know, what was the weather forecast on your birthday? Well, I looked it up.
Did you?
Yes, it was partly cloudy and 43 degrees the day I was born in the city I was born in.
So what librarian did you call?
I didn't. It was two clicks. Okay. It was two clicks. It was pretty, actually very easy to find it. Librarians generally are happy to receive questions, partly because they serve lots of people and helps them justify taxpayer funding. She said one person wrote just last year, because there's no stupid question. One person wanted to know how to make a guillotine. So she sent him the schematics of how to make a guillotine, but secrecy or privacy is paramount. So she didn't tell him. She didn't tell anybody about that. Perhaps if somebody's asking how to make a guillotine, perhaps that's something that maybe you should tell someone about.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All this week, we did a series on television. It's available now on demand, the entire series on Antifa. What is it? What's its history? What do they really believe? What do they stand for? And is there a way to be against fascism and not join fascists? You can check that whole thing out now at theblaze.com/TV. The whole series is up and available for you now. Okay. I wanted to talk to Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. He is demanding now that Sessions appoint a special counsel to investigate Uranium One and the Obama-Clinton era scandals. Now, I think the Uranium One thing is a really big news story, but not for the same reason that I think a lot of people do. I'm interested in hearing the congressman's point of view on what happened with Uranium One. Congressman, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
You bet. Can you tell me what are you looking into with Uranium One, and what do you think the real scandal is here?
We've got to find out if the Clinton Foundation was essentially used as a money laundering operation to sell off influence to the State Department. And there are many different tentacles that branch out from that. One of those tentacles is the Uranium One deal, where you have all of these payments being made by Russians to Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. At the same time, you have Hillary Clinton serving on the CFIUS board, raising no objections to this Uranium One problem. The reason why I think it necessitates a special counsel is that the very players, Bob Mueller, Rod Rosenstein, the individual
Eric Holder.
Eric Holder, the very people who continue to have influence at the Justice Department and at the FBI, very well may be fact witnesses in the Uranium One deal, because they had an obligation to come out and show us this real pervasive Russian influence through bribery. You've pointed out, Glenn, on a variety of your platforms, that the key to this entire deal is going to be the testimony of the informant who knew that the Russians were actually talking about bribing U.S. officials to influence our uranium assets. And so I don't think that the current kind of Jeff Sessions, Bob Mueller regime can look into that. I think that you've got to have a special counsel appointed. And if you don't do that, then you've really got an inequitable application of justice. You got a special counsel looking into the president. And by the way, it's the very same guy who should have told us about Uranium One.
So here's my concern, Matt, that this becomes focused around the Clintons, and the Clintons may indeed be guilty as hell on this. However, I think the bigger scandal is that the FBI had done a 7-year investigation. They had all of this information of corruption at the highest levels, and it was not brought to this committee. Nobody in the committee apparently was alerted. A year before, this committee stopped China from buying a gold mine because they were afraid that that might somehow or another open the door for a country like China to have access to our uranium. Well, then what happened, and how come the committee wasn't informed on this FBI investigation of 7 years?
Well, and you know who that implicates, Glenn. It implicates Bob Mueller and James Comey.
Yes, it does.
The very people who've been going after the president. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons, frankly, that Bob Mueller has a conflict, because, you know, he should have been the one indicating that this was a problem. He should have brought it to the CFIUS board. And by the way, there are plenty of examples where the FBI brings information to the CFIUS board, which Secretary Clinton had a role in and served on. And they, in fact, there was a case recently where a Japanese company was looking to buy some telecom assets in the United States, and the FBI was giving regular updates and information to CFIUS about that transaction, and that's with one of our greatest allies. Meanwhile, you've got the Russians engaged in bribery, making huge payments to the Clinton Foundation, and you don't have that same degree of transparency and sharing of information. And so that's why I think it's absolutely essential for the Congress to be involved. I mean, a lot of people forget that Congress has an oversight responsibility. We are the people's check on the deep state. And right now, I fear that we need more members of Congress out calling for a special counsel, joining Jim Jordan and Ron DeSantis. Actually, 20 members of the Judiciary Committee have been demanding a special counsel for 3.5 months to look into these systemic failures, and we need Jeff Sessions to do his job.
So we're talking to Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida, who wants a special counsel to investigate the Uranium One deal. I am supportive of this if the goal is not to just get Clinton. If the goal is to look into what the hell happened with the FBI, because I think there are two bigger issues here, and that is Russia is influencing us, and we have evidence of it, a mountain, 7 years of evidence of it. And it is shocking. Why did the Obama administration gag the informant? Why at the? Why was he?
You know who signed the pleading? You know whose name is on the signature block for the pleadings before the courts, sealing off the information of this informant? It's Rod Rosenstein. And so, I mean, when he was the U.S. attorney in Maryland, he was involved in the litigation to seal off information from this very informant. And so, the people at Justice and at the FBI are witnesses. And, you know, either through their acts or through their omissions, may be implicated
yes.
in some wrongdoing. And so you're right. This can't solely be about bringing one person or one set of people to justice, though I do think that's important. We've got to look at what systemic failures brought us to this point. And moreover, is there an ongoing influence that's occurring that's undermining our country,
right.
undermining our uranium assets that we may not know about until we do this investigation?
That is the other thing. There's two things, the reason why we should have a special counsel. One, what politicians were involved, if any? What was the role of the FBI, and why did it happen the way it did? It shouldn't have happened this way. There's too much evidence of corruption. And the second thing is to find out what's happening with Russia. They are clearly infiltrating both parties. They are clearly doing everything they can to weasel themselves into our system. And nobody is. We're so busy fighting with each other, we're not noticing the real enemy is Russia.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I would encourage you, Glenn, and all of our listeners to check out the article that was published today in The Hill, where some of Christopher Wray's emails raise a lot of questions. Christopher Wray, of course, you know, deeply involved with the FBI and with Justice. His wife was a political candidate who was being financially supported by the Clintons. At the same time that was happening, we've now got emails where Christopher Wray is saying that the investigation of the Clinton email scandal wouldn't be handled through the normal procedures and the normal course of business. It was going to be handled at headquarters in a special way. Again, this reinforces what makes Americans so angry about the Clintons. There's one set of rules that governs all of us, and then there's sort of special treatment special procedures that always seem to apply to the Clintons. So breaking news, you know, even today in the Hill on some of those emails, showing us how deep some of these systemic failures may run.
Matt, I appreciate your work on this. I appreciate your calling into the program, and we wish you luck. And I would stand with you for calling a special counsel, as long as it is not a partisan thing. I think people are sick of special deals being cut on either side of the aisle. People in Washington need to live by the law, period. No matter who you are, you live by the law, you die by the law. And I just want answers, and the American people want it, and they're tired of the politics around it.
Absolutely, Glenn.
Thanks so much. Congressman Matt Gaetz, Florida congressman. You can find him at mattgaetz.com. Look for that story on the Hill and call Congress and ask them to appoint a special counsel to investigate Uranium One.
Right now on the blaze.com/TV, the show that Glenn, you do, of course, every night, we're already in production on a week-long series on Uranium One. I think it's going to air at the beginning of next year. But one of the things that I thought was really important, and you brought it up towards the end, is the defense from Hillary Clinton and her people is essentially like, well, we weren't the only people on this panel. And you know, we didn't necessarily directly approve this, and I assigned that to someone else, and I didn't have responsibility, and these payments came in at different times, and they have arguments for certain accusations made against Hillary Clinton, which is why it's so important that this not just becomes another Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. The thing that's really interesting to understand here with Uranium One is what Russia was trying to do. Why was Russia doing all of these things? Because even if you say Hillary had nothing to do with this, even if you say Hillary had no responsibility, which, I mean, when I look at it, it seems to be a stretch to get there. But even if you want to believe that and consider her completely innocent, the Russians again were trying to interfere with a major national security issue and trying to manipulate our politicians, our systems, and did so successfully, whether you think they lucked into it or it was intentional and there was a quid pro quo. Either way, you get to a place where Russia, again, throughout the Obama administration, and I believe through the now beginning with the Trump administration, is trying to continually affect what our general functions are here yeah. in the United States, the things that keep us safe and separate and a constitutional republic that we all want. Those things are constantly being interfered with by this one nation. And if we don't figure out what they're doing and get ahead of them, they are going to hit us even harder than these things.
We hit, we're trying to really spend our time and our resources on trying to explain in simple ways, using a chalkboard, the connections and these complex stories. Most people, you hear Uranium One, they're like, yeah, Clinton was selling us out to Russia. And that's pretty much all you know. I'm telling you, we just finished production on this Uranium One series yesterday, and it is so clear and so we just tell the facts of the story. You'll have to decide, because I don't know what happened. I really don't know. I'm just telling you something is really wrong. It looks like something's really wrong with the Clintons, but I can't figure out exactly how they affected this deal. But there are far too many coincidences and far too much money. What was it, $135 million?
Nine figures, it was
a nine figure thing, all from Uranium One and all of the players of Uranium One. Now, and at the time that this is going down, that's quite a coincidence, because they're still not giving. Why did they give at that time? That's just circumstantial evidence. But it is enough to say, wait a minute. But when you look at what the FBI and their involvement, something is very wrong here.
Yeah, and it's not just, I think, even if you want to look at it as a partisan thing, I think because it came out in 2016, it was looked at as a big Hillary Clinton story, which she's a big part of the story, don't get me wrong. But I mean, several other officials in the Obama administration are tied into this. And honestly, Bill Clinton, there's almost a more direct line directly to Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
He closed
one of the biggest deals.
Yeah, and took tons of money in speeches and things like that. You look at this, and Eric Holder is another big one that's involved in that. And it's not just going to be Democrats, but as Matt Gaetz pointed out, I mean, Rod Rosenstein and Mueller and McCabe and some people that are still serving in the Trump administration
and looking into Russia. Yeah. That's the problem. This is a 7-year investigation that is, I mean, has Russia nailed to the wall when you know the facts of this case and what they have on Russia? It nails them to the wall. Why wasn't that shared? If we take Clinton and the board at their word, okay, then why wasn't this information shared? And I tend to believe that the information wasn't shared because Obama, his administration, gagged the guy who was the chief, you know, a jaybird. He's the guy who was there for 7 years assembling all of this, witnessing all of it. And when you hear what he has to say, it's pretty stunning. Something's wrong. Attention gun owners, 100% confident that your family and your home is safe? Are you 100%? You might be when you say, yeah, nobody's coming into my house. And if they, you know, I've taken the training and I know everything. Okay, that's good. Have you thought of this? What happens after you pull the trigger? Who is protecting you? I want you to know the USCCA is there. The USCCA is the protector of the protector. I want you to go there now at protectanddefend.com. Protectanddefend.com. Get yourself signed up. You're going to get a free booklet on how to protect your family in ways that you just can't imagine. But also, you are going to be, if you become a member, you are going to have somebody protecting you after you pull the trigger, God forbid. Protectanddefend.com. Go there now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Bill O'Reilly, the news of the week, how he saw it. Next.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Three letters were scrawled on the front door. P-I-G. As investigators approached, they realized the ink was human blood. The blood was the blood from Sharon Tate and her unborn child. Tate had thrown a dinner party with her friends earlier that evening. She had no idea that her life would be over by the end of that evening. Under Charles Manson's instruction, members of his, quote, family invaded the Tate home and viciously killed everyone inside. Then they sat down and had a bite to eat at the dinner table. One of them took a fork and stuck it into Sharon Tate's belly. The next night, Manson rode with his followers to the home of Leno and Rosemary LaBianca. They were also murdered. Manson was originally sentenced to death, but in 1972, a ruling by the California Supreme Court found the state's death penalty law at the time unconstitutional. So they've kept him alive, and California taxpayers have been paying for it. His sentence was changed to life in prison with the possibility of parole. He's been denied parole 12 times. He's crazy as ever. But now Manson may finally get the punishment he deserves. He's 83 years old. He's just been hospitalized. Sources now say it's only a matter of time before he passes on. Charles Manson will die in bed, content with living a long life, a luxury that Sharon Tate, her unborn son, and nine other victims of Manson's insanity would never know. Here's hoping that the Grim Reaper comes, I don't know, swiftly, not too swiftly, painfully, and then Manson can start doing his time on his real sentence.
It's Friday, November 17th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com and the new book, Killing Lincoln, which is in stores everywhere. Welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Okay, it's Killing England. Killing Lincoln was my first
book. Yeah. Whatever. It's killing somebody.
I know those little details.
I know. It's, I know.
Hey, Beck, you know, the Grim Reaper, man, on Manson, huh?
Yeah, pretty good, isn't it?
You really, you know?
Have you followed...
Oh, Charlie.
Have you followed the story of the women that adore him?
Yes,
and I mean, it's crazy. It is crazy.
You know, but that people don't understand the power of cults. And that has not been in the news lately, but it's still around. You know, like the Moonies and the Scientologists and the cult following.
The Democrats, the Republicans.
There you go. They get these vulnerable human beings, mostly damaged, mostly with terrible childhoods and no emotional ties to anyone. And they love bomb them and they put them into circumstances where they do horrible things. Or they're manipulated to go out and make money or whatever it may be. But that's what Manson did. And, you know, a lot of people don't even know the man's name under 40 and how heinous he was and what a terrible time that was in America, that crazy hippie anything goes era of 3 or 4 years where it was just totally out of control.
You know, Bill, I did a monologue yesterday on TV about, you know, the last two mass shootings. The last two mass shootings, one in California and one here in Texas, both of the people had serious mental health problems.
Right.
Both of them had outstanding charges of spousal abuse or domestic abuse of some sort. Both weren't qualified to have guns, and in both cases, either the Air Force or the state of California didn't follow through and make sure that they didn't have guns. If you look at the mass shootings in America, 57% of those guys have domestic abuse in their background. And nobody's talking about this. We have a serious...
I am. I did. And I got hammered by I keep calling it the far left, but I think it's the fanatical left or the, you know, hateful left. That might be good. I said, Beck, just along the lines of what you're putting out, that this is the price of our freedom in the sense that in the Reagan years, the ACLU came in and made it almost impossible for authorities to isolate dangerous people. No matter how crazy you are, all you got to do is go to any big city and sit there and watch. Go to Penn Station, New York City, and watch.
Oh, yeah.
Psychotic people walking around, talking to themselves, punching walls, menacing strangers, and the cops can't do a thing. Nothing. Because the ACLU came in the 80s and said, these people have rights. You can't incarcerate them. You can't even bring them into Bellevue for observation unless they do something that is against the law.
I mean, it always gets down, though, to these things to where, you know, I want to be able to put people who are seriously disturbed and make sure that they are getting medicine and treatment. However, you know, if you look at what we opened up and what, you know, the state of mental institutions were in the 70s and beyond, they were frightening places.
Creedmoor in those places, that's for sure. But you have to basically say, the American people have to say, and they're going to have to make a decision soon. All right? I mean, what we're doing now on BillO'Reilly.com, and you're doing something similar on The Blaze, is basically we're telling people, you have to take your country back.
Yeah.
You do it. I can't be Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly. We can provide information and we can provide venues, but you have to do it. And, you know, people understand that other people can be dangerous. But if I call the police today and I say, my neighbor is screaming and yelling and maybe hitting his kid and acting in a way that's dangerous, in my opinion, police can't do anything. They can't do anything unless there's a complaint sworn out or they witness something. And so that when these people go out and then they want to get a gun, it's easy for them to get a gun. And even if it were harder, they'd still get the gun if they wanted it. So people ought to know where we are and that these things are going to continue to occur, these mass shootings and violence, because we are a free society. And this is what we have decided, that we're not going to take action against any individual unless he or she commits a crime, period.
Bill, isn't that, I don't know, a needed condition to have authorities?
I don't believe it is, Stu.
So you're taking them into condition because you think they might be distasteful or erratic?
No, that's not what I'm saying. If there's evidence, all right, that a person is acting in a way that is dangerous to the public health.
Let me clarify this. I'm specifically talking about in Texas and the shooter in California.
Correct.
The families were begging.
And that's what I'm trying to tell Stu. So maybe you can tell Stu. You'll be the interpreter to Stu. I'm trying to tell
Stu. Well, it's not exactly what you said.
Yeah, I mean, what you said was you can't.
Now you're sticking up for Stu?
I play both sides, brother. I play all sides.
Gee,
I don't know. I'm a little worried about the government having power to decipher what they think is questionable behavior and bring me in for it.
It's not the government. It's the local precincts.
What are they?
A local town like the Texas town, Sutherland. Okay, if you know that there's a guy who's menacing people and has guns, then the authorities should be able to go in and bring him in for psychiatric observation for a couple of days. Is that fascism? I don't think so.
It's a slippery slope. I mean, look.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Bill?
I mean, it is a slippery slope.
So here's the problem. We had a producer, Tiffany, who just absolutely loved her family as a sweet girl and everything else. Nothing going on in her family. Her son broke his collarbone or something happened and there was a bone broken. Well, my gosh, she had the state in her house for months and questioning and watching. Correct.
They suspected that she was involved with that?
They didn't even suspect it, really. It was just like they just
gotta check the box. That's ridiculous.
Okay. All right. And if Tiffany had a good family lawyer could have prevented that. Unfortunately, in our society, we all have to protect ourselves with family lawyers and everything else because it's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous society now. But the overarch is that right now, dangerous people who everybody in Sutherland knows are not acting rationally, can get guns and then go out eventually and shoot people.
We should point out, too,
it's not a hard thing to do.
In both of those cases, however, both of the perpetrators were not supposed to have guns legally. It had already been decided.
But that's the absurdity of the left saying, gun control can solve the problem. Gun control is never going to solve the problem. You've got 360 million people running around the United States at any given time. I mean, government's going to track every one of them down and make sure they don't have a gun? That's insane. It's not going to happen. It's just, it drives me crazy. I don't even listen to the argument anymore.
There's a point of being aware of your community. I think, because you're right. These people a lot of times stand out to the locals, and you should be able to check in on them.
This was the first.
Have the power to put people under observation in some kind of civil way. It's got to be a civil, not a criminal beef. That used to be in America. Used to be able to swear out, if you were a family member, that, look, my son or daughter, my husband or wife, acting irrationally, we got to get somebody to look at them. That used to happen here.
But it also used to happen. I mean, if this is the first time that this has changed, where you usually, you know, somebody is in the news because they were, you know, eating the eyes out of every dog in the neighborhood. And people are always like, oh, you know, I knew him. I had no idea. I couldn't be more surprised. This is the first time, the shooting in Texas, that everyone I heard was like, oh, yeah, he was ready to kill people. I mean, we all knew.
What about the San Bernardino couple? I mean, all of their
compatriots in
the Islamic world knew that these people were dangerous people. And then after the fact, they all, we knew. You see, look, what we have now is a country that's frightened to do anything. You know, so if you observe something, you don't say anything because you don't want to get sued or you don't want to be in the middle of a controversy. That's a sea change than the way it used to be in America in the 50s, 40s, 30s, whatever it may be, where neighborhoods actually banded together and protected each other.
70s
and 80s.
We don't
have that now. That's gone.
Let me give you a hypothetical example here. Would this be okay for authorities to step in and do something? Let's say that someone was saying that their Corgi and Maltipoo were premium members to their website. Would that be something that you think if someone was tweeting something like that to their huge audience that their two dogs are premium members to BillO'Reilly.com, would that be something?
All right. Now, Stu, this is what I mean about you, all right? Totally out of context.
No. Your dogs don't have wallets because your dogs don't have pants.
We did a big town hall meeting on BillO'Reilly.com, which everybody can see over the weekend, and they should, because the theme is Take Your Country Back. And it's an important town hall.
Yeah.
The last question was, Bill, do you have any other pets beside Holly? Because Holly the Corgi has become a superstar,
of course.
On Twitter or whatever.
Everybody's talking about
Holly is getting offers you wouldn't believe.
I got it. Yes. Sure.
Holly may be substituting as a host on Meet the Press.
Right.
And you'd get a better
Well, definitely before you would be.
Okay.
I do think
Stu is taking that out of context. Yeah. Mock. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Not only BillO'Reilly.com, but Holly and Fiona mocking two defenseless dogs. I think Stu should be put under observation.
That's a fair point.
Back with Bill O'Reilly in just a second. When emergencies happen, our thoughts and prayers go to those affected, and we kind of hope that we don't find ourselves in a similar situation. Here's the thing. If you don't plan, if you don't educate yourself, you are not going to rise to the occasion. You're not going to rise to the level of your highest expectations. You're going to rise to the level of your preparation and knowledge. My Patriot Supply has helped Americans prepare for emergencies for almost 10 years now. You can start getting prepared with My Patriot Supply 102 servings of survival food. It's a kit that is $99. That's less than a dollar per serving. And it's really good food. I remember 10 years ago, 15 years ago, oh my gosh, it was MREs. And you'd open those things up. I mean, I opened one up and like, okay, so what happens if like things really melt down? You open up an MRE and you're like, I am never eating that. I am just never eating that. And then somebody in the household will go, you'll eat that if you're hungry enough. That's not the way this food is. This is really good. It'll last up to 25 years. If a crisis strikes your neighborhood, your family, you're going to be glad that you acted today. Go 800-200-7163. Call them now, 800-200-7163, or order online at preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Back with Mr. Bill O'Reilly. And I'm having dinner with Chuck Norris tonight.
You are? You're having dinner with Norris?
Yeah, I'm helping him out with his charity tonight, and he's helping out with my charity tomorrow. You know,
Ben, you got to be careful with that.
What do you mean?
Not the charity stuff, and I applaud you. And your audience should know that Beck is a very generous individual. But anyway, Chuck Norris.
My audience would really like to know if you're a generous individual.
You know, I don't want to. I think you know that we have done very much to help children and vets. I think
there's an opportunity right here. You know.
How
are you hitting him up for money?
I'm not. No, I'm not hitting him up for money. That would be crass and rude.
What do you want, Beck? What do you want me to do?
I don't know. What do you have laying around?
Yeah, I got a, you know, I got a couple of dollars. But you want me to?
Yeah,
you,
I mean, yeah.
You want
I mean,
me to stew, or what do you want me to?
No, that's exactly what he wants you to do.
No, that's exactly what directly. I don't want to do. But we'll talk about it, Bill. We'll talk about
all
it.
All right,
all right, good. Okay, so
I'm just going to warn you that Chuck Norris is not a big man. I mean, but he can kick you in the throat.
I'm very well aware of that. I'm very well aware
very
of that. I know. I'm actually working on something that I hope to unveil on Facebook later this weekend. I'm working on the ultimate AR, and I'm going to show it to Chuck Norris and get his approval on it. And
what's the AR? What's that?
You know, an AR rifle. I've listened to the guy from Long Island.
Oh, rifle.
Yeah, an AR. Okay. You know, an AR, you know, like an AR-15.
Got it.
And we should point out that Chuck Norris is not needed to beat up Glenn. I mean, really, Holly the Corgi would be the favorite in a battle.
Okay, I don't think that's really even... really even necessary. Okay, so, Bill, let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about... the Uranium One story. The Uranium One story is being, you know, dismissed by the left as, you know, a hoax, and it's just anti-Clinton. And the way it's being approached by some, it does seem to be just about Clinton. This is a huge story that really is not only about the Clintons, but about the FBI and what the FBI knew and why they are gagging really important witnesses. What is your take on what happened with Uranium One?
Okay, you have to assume that nothing in the long run is going to come of this Uranium One story. I just want to tell your audience. So people hoping that they're going to see an indictment of Hillary Clinton is just never going to happen. Much, much more likely is the Fusion GPS story. But let's stay on Uranium One and answer your question. There's something wrong in this investigation, which was headed by Mueller, who was the FBI chief at the time, because it was kept so secret and silent. Why?
And why? It was a seven-year investigation with mountains of evidence showing...
That was compiled by the FBI.
Yeah.
So why did they deep six it when somebody actually went to prison for it? It wasn't like they didn't find anything. They did find some, and somebody was sentenced to prison.
Right.
So why didn't the folks know about it, and why didn't Holder, the attorney general, hold a press conference and explain what happened? Okay, those are simple questions because, Beck, as you know, I'm a simple man.
Yeah. Oh, very simple. Yeah.
That's your story right there. Why did the Attorney General of the United States and the FBI chief, who's now the special counsel in the Russia Trump stuff, why did they not hold a press conference and tell the American people what the deuce happened?
Right. And so the deuce.
Stewie?
I don't want to swear on the Glenn Beck program.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I'm all about hope and love. Right. You know that.
Oh, I know that. Okay, so then when we come back, I want to stay with Russia and go to Fusion GPS and how the FBI was involved in that as well. There's answers that need to be had.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com and his new book, Killing England, which is out now and great for the holidays. Bill, let me switch gears to Russia and Fusion GPS. And my concern on all of these stories, and I feel like I'm pretty alone on this. You know, you and I think agree on it. But I don't hear this from the media saying, let's stop making this about Clinton and Trump. And let's make this about Russia and the influence that they have over both parties.
Okay, but you're not going to get traction with the American people about if you take it that way. Here's my take on Fusion GPS, and this is why I think this story rises above all the other stories as far as things could happen. You have a organization that was hired by Democrats and the Clinton campaign paid six figures to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. Okay. They may have been paid even more than $1 million when it all comes in. Right now, the House Intelligence Committee is demanding Fusion GPS's bank records, so we would know exactly how much they were paid and by whom. But the Clinton campaign's already admitted they kicked more than $100,000 to these people, and other Democratic entities did as well. And one Republican entity, the Washington Beacon, all right? But they got out early. So anyway, you've got a paper trail that can be subpoenaed. You've got hard evidence, not he said, she said, none of that. Hard evidence. Now, the co-founder of Fusion GPS testified this week in front of the House Intel Committee in a closed-door session. About 35 seconds after the session was over, one of the Republican members of the House Intel Committee called Fox News and spilled everything, which is what happens, okay? And apparently this guy took the dirt that some English guy uncovered, which has turned out to be, whoop, there we go.
That Holly or is that Fiona? There,
you know,
is that Fiona or Holly?
That's Holly. Fiona okay. doesn't bark.
Okay, good.
Glad for you've silenced your dog's so anyway, voice. You've said, why did they disagree? Did Fiona disagree with you? Is that why you silenced her?
Fiona's racked out. Fiona's she's out. She's right. taking her three-hour nap.
All right.
Anyway.
All right.
So anyway, look. The guy who's in charge of Fusion GPS takes the dirt that's given to him, doesn't check it out, tells the committee, oh, I didn't check out any of it. I just handed it to the media. BuzzFeed. Who puts it out there? All right. This is the worst. This is the lowest. This is garbage. This should be a crime. Certainly defamation. All right. But if you're a public figure in this country, you can't sue for defamation. So anyway, this can actually be proven that this was an intrusion in our election. And therefore, people might be able to go to jail here. So that's why I'm saying this scandal, and then you go to Hillary Clinton. Well, what'd you know about this? Well, I didn't know anything about it. Are you telling me that your reelection campaign kicked $100,000 over to this crew and you didn't know it? Come on. So that's why I'm saying this is the big story.
So what is the difference between, and I say this as somebody who is targeting the media and also Hillary Clinton on this, but it can be played the other way as well. What is the difference between Hillary Clinton going out and accepting information that I believe they knew was coming from Russian sources? I mean, that, you know, the Christopher Steele, who was the, you know, MI5 guy,
right.
you know, said it was from Russia, his Russian sources. So they
right.
knew
it was from Russia.
Correct. So they knew they were purchasing it. What is the difference between that and Donald Trump Jr.? Trying to get information.
Oh, come on. Come
well,
on.
I don't see
anybody
failure.
Is going to say, oh, if you're running a political campaign and somebody says to you, oh, I got dirt on your opponent, meet me here, you're going to send somebody to meet him there. But that doesn't mean
not
you're gonna pay and you're going to and you're not going to check anything out. Like this Fusion outfit got all this money and check anything out. And they just put it out. Look, Beck, Any human being running for office now can be defamed by bogus, made-up crap.
I know that.
That goes out to the internet.
I know that.
And I mean that is a threat to our republic.
I agree with you. But the other threat is the Russians were playing both sides.
Yeah, you said the
both
Russians,
of them.
Though we don't know exactly. Who gave Fusion GPS the bogus dirt? So, and I don't think we'll ever know that because we don't have subpoena power in Russia.
That made that makes the case against Trump stronger because we know exactly who that was, and one of them used to be the chief of the KGB disinformation service for disrupting political campaigns around the world.
You're gonna have look. I'm not trying to defend anybody here.
Dang.
If there's hard evidence that Donald Trump and his campaign chieftains all right, entered into some alliance with Russia to smear Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. Let's see it.
Yeah, yeah. So
may I suggest word of the day, chieftains?
Chieftains.
Love it.
Thank you.
And that's an Irish kind of rock group, pop rock group, the Chieftains. Very good. Anybody roll through your town?
No. Nope. Nope.
No, not going?
Nope. Nope.
What ethnicity are you, Beck? Beck is kind of like a nothing thing. Are you? Where are you?
Well, I'm just sorry to tell this Irishman I'm German.
Ah! Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're a German, Beck? It's like, yeah. I should have known that. Beck's beer.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay. German. And luckily, all my people were over here. Every single Beck, I think, left.
let me just say, in Killing England, and this is another brilliant segue for a plug, one of the heroes.
It would be more brilliant if you didn't point it out. I don't know if you know that, but
point. Yeah.
One of the heroes, the guy who turned the Continental Army around, was a German. Do you know who that was? Baron von Steuben.
Mm, yes.
Huge. And nobody, we have a von Steuben Day parade in New York City. Yeah. It's like six people with pretzels.
Right.
Right. Okay? But this guy, he came over from Germany, Prussia, and he whipped the Continental Army into shape. Washington didn't like him. Yeah. And the guy was thrown out of Europe because he was gay. Von Steuben was thrown out of the Prussian army. He had nowhere to go, so he came over here and became a huge hero.
So wait a minute. Did our founders, did they know that, Bill? I mean,
yeah, they knew it, but
holy
they were desperate.
Cow.
Benjamin
they were desperate.
Was the guy who got von Steuben on the boat to come over. Everybody knew von Steuben was thrown out of Europe because he was, it was
gay.
Like what's going on now. And and everybody knew it. But the guy was a brilliant commander, and Washington didn't want him at Valley Forge, but had to take him. And if you read Killing England, Beck, you would know all this.
Wow.
All right?
Wow.
But getting back.
And more, I'm hoping.
German.
Yes.
And, we wouldn't be having this conversation if not for him, I don't think.
Yes, yes. Do you know that we were just a few votes away from having German as our official language?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Did you know, if you would have read one of my books, you would have known that.
No, but I read them all, but I can't retain everything.
Yeah, I know.
So much wisdom.
That is exactly
the
way I feel about yours. So, Bill, you know, one of the things that actually, the last thing on the German thing, is I never understood why it's, in Congriff, all of our documents, the F's are actually German S's.
That's correct.
Yes.
Very good.
Very good.
And
word of the day again is chieftain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
getting back to all of this, we spend a lot of time, we in the media, on all of these so-called scandals, Fast and Furious and the IRS, and American people get fed up because nothing ever happens, all right? They have hearings, they do this, they do that. I'm going to tell you this. This Fusion GPS, this is going to lead someplace. And people should pay attention to this because this was absolutely rotten, dirty garbage. And it could have swayed the entire election. It could have. And if Hillary Clinton and her campaign were deepened, and Podesta, the Podesta brothers, John Podesta and the other guy, quit his own firm.
Yeah, and they closed. They've closed
Tony
it.
Podesta.
They're closing the Podesta group down and restarting a new one. It kind of says something bigger is on the horizon.
Yeah.
Why would you just get rid of the Podesta group?
Right, Beck, you have it. I don't think Stu has it yet.
Not yet. No.
You have it.
Does Holly have it? Yeah, does Holly have it?
Big.
Yeah.
And
to
me, and of course, you're never going to see this in the New York Times, never going to see it in the Dallas Morning News, never going to see it. Because these people who love the Democratic Party and want this kind of progressive government to be imposed, all right, they know the danger. They know this all could fall apart. John Podesta was the guy who ran Hillary Clinton's campaign. His brother, Tony, had to quit his own firm where he was making millions of dollars. He had to walk away from it. You don't just do that, all right? So this is a big, big story coming down the train. But unless they listen to you and me on BillO'Reilly.com, thank you very much, they're not going to get the story. You're not going to hear about it.
All right. Bill, it's always a pleasure to talk to you at on Fridays.
You know, Beck, next week we got Thanksgiving. You around next week?
I am not around next week. I was wondering, though. I was thinking about going to a big family gathering, and a lot of people don't necessarily, you know, enjoy my brand of politics.
Oh, that's impossible.
I know. And I was thinking,
that can't be true.
I was wondering if I could rent you out
and just have you show up.
Yeah,
where are we going? Yeah,
just have you show up at the dinner table.
take the heat off you, right?
That's exactly right. Thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me in.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You can, of course, get Bill's number one bestseller, Killing England, everywhere. And you can also check in on how his two dogs are doing. BillO'Reilly.com. You get the Fiona updates. You get the Holly updates. He'll cover all of that for you at BillO'Reilly.com. That's a part of that premium membership.
You know, the only person I know that has corgis besides him is Queen Elizabeth.
Really?
Yeah. It's disturbing. The connections just keep getting deeper and deeper.
He wrote a book about killing England.
Well,
do you think he's covering something?
I think he's covering his deep, deep connections with the Queen. If you want to protect your home this holiday season, listen up. You have early access to SimpliSafe's biggest Black Friday sale ever. $200 off SimpliSafe's holiday security system. This is the bestseller. It's the 13-piece arsenal that covers your whole home. If you want to protect your family, SimpliSafe has made everything about this effortless. You order it online. It's delivered right to your door with free shipping. Takes less than an hour to set up. A 10-year-old can do it, honestly. And SimpliSafe has no long-term contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees. The price of the system is honest and fair and unbelievably inexpensive, plus $15 a month for best in industry 24/7 alarm monitoring. And with SimpliSafe, you're never locked in. So visit simplisafebeck.com right now and get $200 off your system. The sale ends really soon. Do it now. Simplisafebeck.com. $200 off your home security system right now at simplisafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Family on Long Island say they survived a fire thanks to their beloved pet. The home went up in flames overnight, but they all got out safely. Susan and Peter McEnvoy have two young children. They told the neighbors they were sleeping when the flames erupted, but they were awakened by their longtime family cat. Now, this is where the story falls apart for me. No way this happened. Peter says the cat was acting strangely. I got that. Clawing at him. I got that. Jumping on the bed. I got that. Sadly, the cat named Houdini went missing and is presumed buried amid the rubble. Now, here's my problem with this story.
Wait, so that's not the part that lets you down? The cat winds up being dead?
No, one less cat in the world makes me happy. Here's the problem with this story.
You know we're going to get 65,000 emails now, and you're going to people.
Oh, cat lovers don't even know how to write.
You can dig your hole as deep as you want.
That's fine.
And climb into it.
I'll take on cat lovers any day of the week.
You really don't like cats.
I despise cats. I despise them.
And they despise you because you're a person.
No, yes, exactly right.
That's the only qualification.
No, my hatred for cats is longstanding. I was dating a girl and it ended up to be my first wife, and she had a cat. I knew nothing about cats. And
this is very revealing, by the way.
Yeah, and, it was an outdoor cat, which I didn't understand, and very dirty. And so I decided, to give this cat a bath.
Ah, so this is a you've been personally injured by the species.
Injured is not quite the word for it.
That's pretty dumb by you. You do realize that.
Well, I was determined.
They actually,
that damn cat was getting the bath. You do whatever you want for me. You are now, I'm married to giving you a bath. I am not surrendering to you, cat.
This is your fault. You do realize the story.
Whatever. Cats don't like people. Cats don't need people. Cats do not wake people up when there's a fire. They don't.
They don't.
That cat may have woken that family up just to say, open the damn door so I can get out. I don't care about you. Just open the door so I can get out. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Cat was not trying to save anybody. Cats don't do it. They don't care. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
You know, if you always found Al Franken a little creepy, we now have confirmation. Yesterday around this time, Los Angeles radio news anchor Leanne Tweeden accused Al Franken of forcibly kissing her in 2006 when they were in Afghanistan as part of a USO tour. The kissing part of the story sounds, you know, pretty juvenile on Franken's part. Doesn't appear to be the worst part of what Franken did, however. On the flight home, someone, Franken said, take a picture of me. And they took a photo of Franken either groping or looking like he was about to grope her chest while she was sleeping. She was humiliated before the picture. When she got home, she was even more humiliated. The incident happened 2 years before the citizens of Minnesota elected Franken, the guy who played Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live, which I never really understood as funny, but maybe it was just
not me. In the traditional sense.
Yeah.
Or the non-traditional sense.
Or in any sense. Mm-hmm. Now, just like Roy Moore's, you know, handwriting in the yearbook, we're probably going to have, you know, days of photo analysis trying to figure out whether, you know, Franken is actually touching her or not. I don't know. It's tasteless, it's disrespectful, and it's creepy. Franken apologized, saying he realizes the photo's not funny now, which actually means he thought it was funny until he got caught. And as for the forced kiss, Tweeden says Franken wrote a script for the two where they had to kiss. She says he wanted to rehearse the kiss backstage, but he forced a very vigorous French kiss. She said she immediately shoved him away with both hands, ran to the bathroom to wash his taste out of her mouth. Ugh. Franken says he doesn't remember the rehearsal skit going quite the same way. Who could have seen that one coming? In Franken's apology, he says he respects women, blah, 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 and asked for a Senate ethics investigation on himself. This really isn't as noble as it sounds. Oh, my gosh. He's coming out and saying, yeah. Let me explain something. A Senate ethics investigation is what you order when you don't want someone to get into trouble, because literally nothing ever comes out of those. So don't even bother with the paperwork on the ethics investigation. We have photographic evidence of Al's ethics and Al's respect for women. Now, Al Franken is a professional comedian only because professional is defined as something you do that you get paid for. But a guy like that doesn't get elected senator and, you know, and suddenly become Ward Cleaver. The only surprise here is that it took 9 years for something like this to come out about Al Franken.
It's Friday, November 17th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Someone tweeting at World of Stew here. Can you remind Glenn to tell his brush with fame story of being in line with Al Franken at an airport trying to rebook for a canceled flight?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember this story?
Yes, I do.
You were with me. Yeah, 2004, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2004, it was Iowa. It was the day after the election, not the election, the Iowa caucus.
Yes.
Okay. So it's 2004, and everybody is in this airport. I mean, yeah. You look around and it's like, hey, that's Tom Brokaw standing in line. I mean, everybody was at this airport.
It's one of those weird things about elections, particularly in the primaries, that all the big media from New York and LA and everywhere piles into Des Moines or some city in Iowa or New Hampshire. And then they're all together in these really weird circumstances. And you see these people that you recognize all over the place at like Dunkin' Donuts. And yeah. It's just a strange world to be
in. It's weird. So we were in the airport and we're all standing in line. And in front of me is Al Franken. Now, this is before I'm on TV, so he has no idea who I am at all. And Stu and I are standing there and I'm just like, oh, freaking Al Franken, man. What a loser.
And this is the time he's hosting like the left wing talk show, right?
Yeah.
Is it about that time?
Yeah. He was on
Air America.
Yeah. So he's standing in line in front of us. And I actually have a picture. We have to look at glenbeck.com. I have a picture of this because I knew nobody would believe me. And so when it happened, I asked him, Mr. Franken, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, oh, sure. Sure. Okay, so I have some verification that we were at least in the same airport together. We're standing in line, and he says to the person behind the counter, now, you have to understand, hundreds of people are in line.
I don't know if I've ever been in an airport as crowded as that day.
Hundreds of people in line, and there is a snow or something happened, and all these flights are being bumped. And, he says, I have got to get out of here. And she said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Franken. There's nothing I can do. And this is a quote. Surely there has to be some mechanism for people like me.
So it was said in a way that was about 10 times as snotty and condescending as you just said it to.
It was just such verification of what these people think about themselves and about the rest of the riffraff around me.
Yeah, it was 10 times as offensive as, do you know who I am? It was that type of.
Oh, yeah. Like, surely there is a much nicer plane in a hangar someplace where people like me go, I'm not part of these people.
Redirect me to the celebrity airport is what he was asking, it seemed.
Where is the important person line? It's crazy.
And he was, he had done Saturday Night Live and he was doing the left-wing talk show, but he was not a senator at that point. No. Now he actually has, like, those benefits he wanted, probably, from back in the day. Now he does get that recognition. Now he does get that praise.
You know, I love the way that everybody said, you know, oh my gosh, he asked for the Senate investigation, which means nothing. Really means nothing. Nobody, literally, nobody ever has anything wrong with their Senate investigation. There's like, I can't even remember what it is, like 300 investigations to zero. 300 investigations, good.
Is that true? Jeez.
Zero, bad. Oh, yeah. It's like literally nobody gets in trouble with a Senate investigation, okay? So, everybody's saying, yes, that's right. He needs a Senate. However, Roy Moore doesn't need the investigation, and I'm not a supporter of Roy Moore. No. I don't agree with Roy. I think Roy Moore probably is somebody that shouldn't be in the Senate. But I love the fact that it's like, we're going to investigate Al Sharpton, but Roy Moore, we won't even accept him in this room. If he does win, we're going to eject him.
Yeah. Oh, and they had,
wait,
it's amazing. The standard, I mean, Menendez was under an actual trial, a corruption trial. It's been going on for months. We've talked about it here, but you've heard about it fairly rarely, I would say, in the media. And yesterday he comes out and does a speech. Should we play some of this audio? Because I was fascinated by this speech.
This speech. Now, what's crazy about this speech is I was watching it and he's giving this. Oh, my God. It's a victory speech.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to square it because underneath on the Chyron, underneath on the lower third of the TV, it said Menendez trial ends in hung jury.
Yeah, mistrial. Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, he's saying basically he won, but he never did. But listen to this speech. It's The craziest damn thing you've ever heard.
To those who left me, who abandoned me in my darkest moment, I forgive you. To those who embraced me in my darkest moment, I love you. To those New Jerseyans who gave me the benefit of the doubt, I thank you. To those who have a doubt, I'm going to work harder than ever before so that there is no doubt. To those in the press who did their job and did it with professionalism, and even to some of you who are actually kind, where's Dominic? I don't see him. Dominic. I believe you showed others what a professional press is all about and why that freedom is so important to our society. To those who were digging my political grave so that they could jump into my seat, I know who you are, and I won't forget you.
I mean, almost word for word, that could have been Tom Brady's speech after the Super Bowl post-Deflategate.
I mean,
it's like, you didn't win the Super Bowl, dude. It was, in fact, you weren't even innocent in the corruption trial.
No.
It was a mistrial. It could have been 11-1 against you.
Right. It was one juror. It could have been just one person going, I'm not changing my vote. I love the guy. I mean, it's like, dude, you're going back inside again. You know that, right? They're going to do this again.
They could. I mean, and they don't know if they will, whether they'll go after it again, but they actually could. I think a lot of it comes down to, I haven't seen a report of what
if
the
I
split
were
was
if I were part of the prosecution and I was part of the government's case and I saw him come out and say that, I'd be like, we're getting that son of a bitch, we're going back.
Yeah,
I mean, because that was crazy.
Look, being charged with corruption and winning the trial, sure, there's a moment of personal relief, but this is not like the most glorious moment of your life. And he didn't even win. It was a mistrial. Again, it could have been 11-1 against him. And he's like, look at me. I'm going to Disneyland.
Okay, really crazy story. Crazy story. What is happening to us? Another... as if I knew there was one in the first place. Another young millennial has reportedly sold her virginity for millions on the internet.
Millions?
Yes. Did you know there was one that had already done this?
I feel like we did cover one of these stories a few years ago.
No. Uh-uh. Back in April, a Hong Kong businessman paid $2.5 million for an 18-year-old Romanian model's virginity. Just yesterday, we outlined that millions of millennials in the United States are starting to trade sex for their next debt service payment.
What an inspiring future.
Oh, no, this is great. As what we believe is a clear trend, and millennials are resorting to sex for a real simple get out of debt option or the chance for a better life. The latest demand for virgins is coming from a businessman in Abu Dhabi. Okay, so hang on a second. Okay.
What could go wrong here?
What
Glenn?
Could go wrong? Yeah, what I could can't. Possibly? I'm flying to Abu Dhabi. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that one. He has agreed to pay $2.9 million for the virginity of a 19-year-old part-time student and model living in California. The model, Giselle, is astounded by the overall outcome of the auction. And says a Hollywood actor and Russian politician were also in the running. She says, this is a dream come true. Let me say this, honey. Okay. A Hollywood actor. Have you been watching the news lately? A Hollywood actor. A Russian politician. Do you know what happens in Russia with the politicians? Bang, bang. In the elevator, usually.
You're going to have to be more specific in this particular story.
They shoot you in the head.
Thank you.
Okay.
There you go. I got one laugh.
So she's got a Hollywood actor, a Russian politician, and she's excited that the guy who won lives in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. It's going to be nice.
Here she is trying to sell herself for the dream come true.
Hello, my name is Giselle. I'm 19 years old. I live in the United States. I'm a part-time model as well as a part-time student. I want to sell my virginity at Cinderella Escorts because I want to be able to pay for my school and go traveling in the future. I think I should be able to do what I want with my body because it's my choice and I feel comfortable with my decision. I want more opportunities to arise for me by doing this, and hopefully good things will come in the future.
I think usually selling yourself, selling your virginity to the highest bidder, to a guy in Abu Dhabi, you know, I think it's logical to assume that good things will follow in the future. The hell's happening?
And it's the same sort of society that will sit there and defend that, you know, that sort of development. You know, selling your virginity, that will sit here and...
Oh, no, she's... All the people who have been talking about the cretins of guys will support her because she said, I think it's my right to do whatever I want with my body.
Mm-hmm. And you can't oppose anything with that bumper sticker attached to it, apparently.
Nope. Casper has outdone themselves again. Tanya and I, one of the first to have the new wave mattresses from Casper. What Casper did is they developed a really great foam mattress that does not trap the heat. And that's been out for a while. Then they took 3 years of research and everything else and all of the data and the sleep science that's being developed. I can't believe that's a science, but it is. And they attached it to a new mattress, a patent-pending support system that mirrors your body's natural curvature. And it is especially built for people like me who, you know, have chronic pain either in your hips or your knees or your shoulders or whatever. The Casper Wave mattress is a complete breakthrough for sleep, and the leading designers and engineers in the field are the ones who designed it. It's in high demand. Get one now. You can try it in your own home for 100 nights risk-free with free shipping and free returns. All you have to do is go to Casper.com and use the promo code Beck. You can save $75 on your purchase. It's Casper.com. Promo code Beck. Minimum purchase is required. See site for details. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
We're not even going to talk about
the
individual mandate, are we?
No, I don't.
I want to make sure, just so the audience is clear, with the current culture of the news, we have approximately two opportunities a year. This is like a biannual thing where we can discuss a policy that affects the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We have an opportunity to do that today. I've brought it up to you several times because there's this whole claim going on about 13 million people are going to lose their insurance if the individual mandate goes away. It's a big claim. They're saying it over and over and over again in the media.
It's not true.
It's not true at all.
Yeah.
And, we could go through and dissect how that's not true so people know. They can explain that to others who might ask at the Thanksgiving table, right? I think we could go into that.
Wouldn't you rather hear about the explorer that was looking for the lost tribe of headhunters that disappeared? I mean, what could have happened there?
What could go wrong with something like that?
Or how about the movie employees that catch a couple having, quote, really fast sex at a movie theater?
Really fat?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, it's...
All right, well, after that, I want to get the individual mandate.
I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying. It is Friday.
After those stories, I would like to...
All right, go ahead. Give me this story.
Well, no, but you promised the really fast sex story.
I want you to give us the...
So they keep saying 13 million people will lose their insurance.
Mm.
Completely untrue. So let's break the number down.
Okay, let's break it down.
Can we do that?
Yeah, break it down.
About 6.5 million people outside of the 13 million are unquestionably going to be doing better in their lives because of the individual mandate repeal. Why? Because right now, they don't have insurance anyway. And they're paying an average of about $500 to the government for the privilege of not having insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So now they won't be paying that. So it's a $500 rebate to 6.5 million people that are low income, who can't afford insurance anyway. All of them will definitely be better off by the individual mandate.
It's not a rebate. It's just that they don't have to pay
They don't have to pay the fine anymore, yeah, right? So they're going to save $500, mm-hmm. okay? So 13 million people are going to lose their insurance, according to every media source on the planet. That is a projection of in 2027, by the way, by the CBO. But it does not say that those people will lose in health insurance. 40% of the number are people who are currently on Medicaid, okay? The individual mandate won't repeal their access to Medicaid. The CBO is trying to make you believe that for some reason, 5 million people who currently have highly subsidized, almost free coverage for Medicaid will instead choose to reject their insurance from Medicaid, which is almost free,
right.
just because they don't want to avoid the penalty won't be there anymore.
Right.
That is absolutely insane. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And even if it did happen, they wouldn't be losing insurance. They would be choosing not to take the free insurance from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another 15% of this number, 13 million, are people that currently have insurance through their employer. So again, no one's going to lose their insurance here. The CBO is saying that these people will that currently say, yeah, I'll sign up for benefits at work, will now switch that decision to, no, I won't sign up to benefits to work just because they know there's no penalty there.
I see the CBO's logic.
This makes absolutely no sense. It's completely bonkers and will not occur.
Correct.
Okay. And again, even if it did, it wouldn't be losing insurance. There's another about 4% of the 13 million, which includes coverage under the basic health program, a program that is 95% subsidized by the government. But those people too are just going to decide, no, I don't want that 95% subsidy anymore. It's
insane. What about the 13 million that are going to lose their insurance?
But
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program, Mr. Pat Gray.
Yay.
Thank you.
Who is daring to challenge me to the armadillo race tomorrow at the Mercury One fundraiser.
Yeah.
Of course, we're all losing.
I'm not going to be able to pick my dillo, though, right? That's going to be Jeffy. I mean, he's so far ahead. Nobody's going to catch him at this point.
I know. He's never been ahead in a race before.
Right?
Never. Unless if he's rolling down a hill.
There's got to be some computer glitch or something that is funneling
the only
people.
Explanation.
Yeah. Because Jeffy cannot.
He can't win this.
No, he can't win.
You can see the race at mercuryone.org/armadillo.
Well,
you
know, more importantly, you could place your bet, mm-hmm. you know, on one of us, not Jeffy.
Yeah, like,
that
I mean,
would be nice.
Isn't that the right thing to do?
Yes.
As an American, as a human being, you want Jeffy to win something?
Yeah.
You want his entire streak of nonstop losses to be broken at 114 years old? Is that what you want for Jeffy's life?
It's not what I want.
Let's put it this way. Jeffy has met 14-year-old girls.
Yes.
Yes, that's probably true.
I think that's enough. In today's world, that's enough.
Right. That is true.
In today's world, that should be enough to get him kicked out of the race.
Yeah. We were talking about this a moment ago where this girl who sold her virginity, she's 19 years old, for $2.9 million to somebody in Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
That is apparently something to defend in our culture from the left. That's okay. It's her choice. It's her body. But Louis C.K., who asked a woman... because he wanted to do things to himself in front of her, which she agreed to and then later felt bad about, he loses his career for that. So if this 19-year-old sells her virginity and later feels bad about it, will it become then a victim? She will be a victim of this powerful man that took advantage of her? Or
I mean, that's
that
what
now?
It is, too. I mean, it's a powerful, rich man taking advantage of a 19-year-old that is in a sorry state. That's what this is. And yet the same people who are upset in Hollywood are the same people that will applaud her. She's powerful. She's doing what she wants with her own body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's selling it. She's selling it to a rich guy. You know, and by the way, I think there's a chance that he regrets it faster than she does.
Oh, I think, yes, speed-wise, he will regret it very quickly.
How desperate are you?
Very quickly.
If you have to pay almost $3 million to have sex with somebody. That's pretty desperate. That's crazy. It can't be that good.
And then the inflation is incredible from the documentary Hostel, which showed these. Usually, it's more in like the low
I'm
six
not sure
figures.
That's a documentary
for these types of things. And so, I mean, and you know, but I guess that's underground. This is more public, so maybe that's the reason.
I'm having dinner tonight with Chuck Norris, and I don't know what to talk about.
are you?
What do I have in common with Chuck Norris?
I don't know.
These are both tough guys, you know?
I get so...
I don't know.
Both good athletes.
So tired of having dinner with Chuck Norris.
You are too?
Three times last week alone.
Last week alone.
I'm just at Whataburger.
I don't know what to talk to him about, really. I mean, he's like...
Talk to him about Walker, Texas Ranger.
He's accomplished in everything. He's accomplished in everything. You see this? This is for sale. This is what I bought for his charity. I bought one of these. Mm-hmm.
Oh wow!
This is a Colt 1911, and it is. I mean, what do you say to a guy who goes to Colt and says, "Hey, I want you to design a gun about me and for me," and they do, and they make it. So this is the Chuck Norris special, and. If you see, pass it over to Pat. It has Chuck Norris's face engraved in gold on the side of the gun.
Now, I don't have many weapons at all with my face.
That's pretty cool.
Engraved in gold.
I don't have any.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Zero. I don't have any with my face on it.
Huh.
That's awesome.
I mean, isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's a golden barrel. And I mean, that's nuts.
What must that have cost?
I don't. No, I bought it at auction and it wasn't cheap.
It's pretty heavy too. Yeah. It's not light.
No, it's a nice, you know.
Yeah, that's nice.
Colt. So that's going to be up for auction tomorrow, along with everything else. And there's some things that you might want to bid on, and you can't go to the auction, but you can join online, and it happens tomorrow night. And if you happen to be someplace and you want to buy, you know, for instance, this gun or. One of the other things that are up for auction, we've got trips, and we have some really cool pieces of history that we're going to auction off. I have a copy of the Disneyland prospectus. Never made a copy before. This wasn't even seen. This had never even really been seen until I bought it. And we've made a watermark copy of it that is suitable for framing, and it's beautiful. And if you would like to get a copy of that, you can go to mercuryone.org and bid on it.
Also, plus, Aaron Watson's going to be performing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
It's going to be fun.
You're going to be there.
I really like, I'll be there. Stu, you?
We'll see.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see about that. No, yeah, I'll be there. That'll be great. Would Jeffy?
Jeffy will be there.
Let's say he won't be there.
Yeah, that's right.
He may not be there.
He may not be there.
That way people will show up.
We'd love to have you there. You can grab your tickets at mercuryone.org/m1ball. You can find everything about it there, and we'd love to have you, or you know, just at least a $5 donation to help keep the doors open. We're going to announce something tomorrow night about the Nazarene Fund that is really, really, really exciting, and we'd love to have you there.
What'd you guys make of the news flash that Al Franken's a douchebag?
it was stunning.
I had a hard time getting my arms around it.
I have not been that surprised since Richard Simmons came out of the closet.
Really?
Whoa.
And did he? He did?
Well, if he comes out of the closet, okay. I'll be just as surprised.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he has. What are you insinuating?
You know what has disturbed me, though, out of everybody that has been revealed here is George H.W. Bush. Seven women.
Okay, so yeah. That is crazy.
That's crazy. I defended
him at the beginning.
Me too.
And
me too.
Thought this was crazy. Now it's like going back to 1992.
92! With
Come
a 16-year-old
on.
Girl in a photo op.
Oh.
That's just daddy doing what the CIA does. It's called a butt check. they make sure that they're not Ruskies, that they're real Americans.
You can tell that by the butt?
By the butt, yeah. Okay. It's classified. I can't talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It was.
I've been really disappointed about that. You know, I was defending
really
him with Jackie, with my wife, when it first came out, because, you know, you're at butt level when you're in the wheelchair.
I thought it was. I thought it was a joke that was just trying to make himself feel comfortable and others comfortable. Once I realized, wait, they're now saying he did it when he was younger.
And standing up.
That's a problem.
And what do you suppose Jackie said? Well, I said he's old now and he's losing his functions, and he's losing that societal block that's in you. And she said, no, that just means that he's had that propensity his whole life. And now he feels free to act on it. And now I'm starting to think maybe she's right. Maybe he's just been that way.
Because I think you can make that argument with him being 93 years old. And as it came out that it was younger, it was kind of strange. And I think it was Ben Shapiro that pointed out, can you imagine if a 79, 89-year-old Bill Clinton was going around patting women on their butts during photo ops, how we would react to that?
Oh, yeah.
It would not be positive.
No.
I will say it would not be a positive reaction.
We wouldn't give him a pass.
No.
I might if he was senile.
If he was senile.
I mean, not even senile. If he was in the wheelchair and he was making a joke and he was putting his arms around people and patting, there's a difference between grabbing and patting. And he was patting in the first ones. Now it's grabbing.
Yeah.
And it's when he was healthy. So I might have given even Bill Clinton the benefit of the doubt.
If you're senile, you pretty much get a benefit of the doubt for everything.
You do. And when you're 93 and you're being pushed around in a wheelchair, but my thing would be keep him away from the public then.
Yeah.
You know, stop the photo ops with him.
Keep him away from butts.
Yes.
That might be the thing.
Away just from butts.
Yes.
You don't have to keep him out of the public. Just keep him away from butts.
Right. That way he won't have to check to see if they're Ruskies or not.
Pat, I'm curious on your viewpoint on this. The New York Times has a column, A Christian Case Against the Pence Rule. And it goes on to describe why, and this is all over the place, I guess, not just the New York Times. But it's this idea that the Pence rule, which isn't really the Pence rule. I think he said it once in an interview that he doesn't go alone. He's not alone with women.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's not alone with women at any point. And that is, I think, more of a defense against you getting into a romantic relationship that's consensual. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone accusing you of something that you didn't do.
Yep.
Or leaving the impression to others that something might be going on when it's not. It's not really like the left keeps pushing back on this and saying, oh, you can't be alone with a woman and not sexually assault them. Maybe you just shouldn't sexually assault them. That's not what it's about, though.
No,
that is not what it's about.
Because they could claim that at any time.
What were we having a conversation about yesterday, Stu? In between takes, we had to change some stuff. We were in a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of standing around and we were talking about this. And Stu said, you know, how long is it going to be, you know, before somebody claims something about Glenn? And we were joking that there's just no mojo with me. So, like, it's just not going to happen. But but anyway,
the negative testosterone numbers are probably part of that.
So we were talking about it. And, you know, one of my protectors was there and he said, you know, sir, there's no way that anyone can say anything because we're with you all the time. And they are.
That's true. Though, again, they're paid by you, right?
But they're an independent company.
Yeah. But I mean, it would be interesting to see how that would play because they would just say, oh, well, this is, again, when this happens, it's someone targeting you, right? So they're just going to excuse.
Also, everything. HW had the Secret Service there.
Yeah.
Right.
And apparently, a lot of people knew about that this was kind of a thing.
They keep saying that, he just does that. He doesn't mean anything by it.
Right.
Well, that doesn't fly today. That doesn't fly.
It also isn't right for the women, right?
Like, right.
I think there's an argument to be made, you know, as you point out, like he's senile. If he's doing something like this, let's just say it was just the senile stuff, right? Like you could say, okay, I get it. That doesn't mean, though, that it's okay for the woman, right? Like she shouldn't be handled that way just because he has problems. It's up to you to make sure that they don't get close to women's butts if that's what he's doing and he's saying he's senile.
Yeah. And in a number of these instances, Barbara was there. So
it's weird.
Yeah, really
it's weird. Did you see the thing about Sylvester Stallone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's really
That's
nasty.
Really bad. Yeah, that's really bad.
You know, a 16-year-old girl, hardcore rape.
When he's 40.
Yeah.
Really
bad.
Did you read the account? The account is strange in that it seems that she actually did agree to have sex with
him.
Yes, with
him.
And
then he invited somebody else.
And then he invited someone in and she didn't say no, but she did not want it, basically. I think that's the way the story goes.
Yeah.
Again,
she came into his room. She was 16.
Right.
He was 40. So it's worse than the Roy Moore stuff.
If true. Right?
If true.
He's not commented on it at all yet, I don't think.
So
I haven't seen anything.
He's 40. She's 16. Somebody gives her the room to his hotel. They have sex.
He gives her the room key. She asks for an autograph. He gives her the room key.
So she goes up and they have sex. And then somebody's waiting in the bathroom. And so when they're done, he says, I want you to meet so-and-so. And he forces her. And then the two of them go at her at the same time. It's bad. It's bad. If it's true, it's bad.
Very. Yeah. And I mean, do we know what the age of consent is? Was she of that age?
It was in Vegas. I don't know what the age of consent is. That was zero, probably, in Las Vegas. But it was also during the filming of Over the Top. As you know, there's a long history of arm wrestling movies that lead to good outcomes, and I'm surprised.
I was trying to remember.
Over the Top.
What was that movie?
Arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling. Finally, somebody has cracked open the world of arm wrestling.
Such a demand, pent-up demand for that. As there is a pent-up demand for Pat Gray Unleashed, which comes up on this particular network here in just moments on Blaze Radio and the Blaze TV.
All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about Goldline. As you know, I believe things are dramatically changing. And there's a couple things that I do. For instance, I've told you to buy Bitcoin, but I've said, like, put $100 in Bitcoin. Everybody should have $100 in Bitcoin. You should have just the amount of money that you're willing to walk away and completely lose, because it's a total gamble. What's it up to now? It was up to 8,000 yesterday.
Almost, yeah. It's almost there now, 7916.
7916, almost $8,000. At the beginning of summer, it was like at 1,100. But last weekend, it had fallen down from 75 to 55.
Mm-hmm.
This thing could go away overnight. Okay. That's a gamble. That's a bet. Gold is not. Gold is insurance. I don't look at it as an investment. Some people do. The central banks are buying it up like crazy. I look at it as an insurance policy. So when the world goes mad and continues to do what they said, first of all, that they would never, ever do, print money, it always ends the same way. People have been doing this since the beginning of time. They print money, and then what happens? The money becomes worthless, and they have to return to the gold standard. So my insurance is eventually the world's going to return to the gold standard, and I'll have something. If you would like to be smart and look at gold as an insurance policy with me, find out, do your own homework yourself. Find out if it's right for you. It is for me and my family. Call them now. Right now, Goldline is offering free gift cards and qualified purchases and a year's free storage on IRA purchases. And they'll give you a free American lapel pin just for calling in to learn more. Make sure you read their important risk information. Find out if it's right for you by calling 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Well, we're headed off for a week for Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your family. Remember, we're just a phone call away. So when the family arrives and you feel like you really need somebody to tell them to shut up, just call us and we'll put us on the speakerphone and we'll deal
Glenn
with the relatives.
Beck.